بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين رسالة درود شريف اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم أما بعد علماء الكرام respected elders dear brothers and all who are listening on the receivers and the audio streaming by the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala last week Saturday night I was given the opportunity to speak on the very same topic, the importance of preparation for the month of Ramadan in the city of Leicester in the UK. The only difference is there, Bayan started at 9:45 in the night. And I mentioned in a joking way to the brothers that fortunately this is not South Africa and Durban, that if any Maulana must give bayan at 9:45 at night, the muazzin will give him the key and say, Maulana Sahib, please lock the masjid when you're going home. There won't be no musallis there and there won't be anyone. They'll be sitting at 9:45 in the night to listen to a bayan. But the talab and the eagerness of those brothers there, that mashallah, despite being so late at night and then on a Saturday night, when there's so many things happening in the town, in the city, so many temptations and all of that, but many brothers, mashallah, the masjid was quite full, brothers sat for the program, young people sat for the program. And this is, even our presence here tonight, mashallah, is an indication that we are anticipating the arrival of the Mubarak months. This month, this great month, this month that will come, outwardly it appears to be a month of hardship and difficulty. And those people who have no belief in Akhirah, they don't have any concept of sawab and reward for deeds, they don't have any belief in Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the afterlife. For them, it sounds illogical and absurd that you got food in your house and you're staying hungry, you got drinks and you are staying thirsty, you got everything available to you and you are staying away from all of this here. To their common sense and to their life of worldly pleasures and desires, it doesn't make sense that a person must shun all of these things for a whole month. So because they don't understand what Ramadan is, one has to first of all have iman. Iman to truly appreciate and understand what is Ramadan and to experience that atmosphere and that feeling and that eagerness with which people look forward to the coming of Ramadan. Already, mashallah, we can see that there is a kind of atmosphere that's developing. There's a kind of a breeze already of fragrant breeze blowing, pre-Ramadan winds that are blowing, alhamdulillah, already. And everyone is focusing to Ramadan, everyone is preparing for the great month. The sisters at home too, mashallah, freezers are stocked up and full. Everything is prepared and ready. You know, people are already doing Eid shopping. Moon hasn't been sighted for Ramadan, but people are even doing the Eid shopping. But the idea is that there is an eagerness with which the great month is being awaited. And this is only because of iman that when one can appreciate the greatness of this month and when a person has the understanding. Otherwise, if a person doesn't have the understanding, like one incident is mentioned by Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat rahmatullah alayhi in his Mawa'iz, this is a humorous incident, but it illustrates a lesson that in one community, the people were very ignorant about Islam and Deen. They had almost no knowledge. They were just Muslim in name. And Allah have mercy on the Ummah. There are still millions of Muslims like that in the world, that they are Muslim in name. You ask them beyond that, there's very little they know about the Deen, they know about the commands, the obligations, etc. So this was a community, a village where they had known only about basic kalima la ilaha illallah, that they are Muslim. But all the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, salah, Ramadan, and zakat, and hajj, and all of these things, very little knowledge they had. So one alim went from town to town, village to village, going and talking to the people about the greatness of these months and the season that's coming, and the month of Ramadan, to help the people to prepare. These programs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward Maulana and brothers from the masjid here in Randall's Road for arranging and organizing and making this venue available. These type of programs, their frequency should increase as Ramadan comes closer, so that those forgotten lessons can be revived. We can never say that, you know, we are fully prepared and completely prepared. We need to be reminded. The speaker is just as much in need of reminder as the listeners. Nobody can say that, you know what, now we are ready and we are fully motivated. We have to motivate ourselves, we have to motivate others also, we have to motivate our families. So this alim was going around town to town, village to village, talking to the people about the importance of Ramadan. So he happened to come to this particular village of ignorant people, and he started telling them that, listen, Ramadan is coming. So they said, Maulana, what happens in Ramadan? And he said, you can't eat, whole day you can't eat anything. Ramadan won't allow you to eat. Ramadan won't allow you to drink anything. Whole day Ramadan won't allow you to have one morsel of food. You can't have one sip of water. So they said, oh, this is really very bad. Very bad. Why? Who's this Ramadan? This Ramadan that's not going to allow us to eat and drink. Where does Ramadan come from? So Maulana explained to them that Ramadan comes from the western horizon. You see the moon. When you see that moon there, the new moon, then Ramadan comes. Ramadan arrives. And once Ramadan comes, then Ramadan will stop you from eating and drinking. So they said, no, this is not acceptable. We can't take this here. Who is there? Who's this Ramadan is going to stop us from eating whole day, drinking whole day? We can't have nothing to eat or drink. Right. So they had a meeting in the town between the people, the community, and they said, we need to go that night of the sighting of the moon, the new moon, we need to go to the outskirts of our town and we must wait there with our dandas and our sticks. They went, they said, if Ramadan ever tries to come to our town, we'll never allow Ramadan to come. We're going to chase Ramadan away. It can go somewhere else, but not allowed to come to our town. That's going to come and stop us from eating and drinking. So they all went to the outskirts of the town in the evening of the sighting of the moon, and they're waiting there with their big sticks and dandas, awaiting the arrival of Ramadan. Now it so happened, by coincidence, a certain musafir and traveler was traveling, and he was from a faraway place, and evening time he saw the lights of this one village, and he thought to himself that, look, I'm not going to be able to travel in the dark now, it's quite dark, twilight time now, let me go and spend my night in this village, the masjid, I'll stay over, and next day I'll continue my journey. So he comes riding on his horse and he's coming closer to the town, and the people say, this is him, this is it. This is that Ramadan. And as he draws closer, they all come ready with their sticks and dandas to start hitting and chasing him. But one of them was a little bit more cleverer than the others, and he said, wait, don't just attack. We don't know, let's first ask him, find out who this person is. Now, coincidentally, he happened to be Ramzan Bhai. His name was Ramzan Bhai. And when he came nearer, they stopped him and they asked him, right, okay, who are you? Identify yourself. He said, Bhai, I'm Ramzan Bhai. Ah, this is the safe one. This is the one. Now you got the right man. And they started hitting him and chasing him. Poor man ran away from there to save his life. So the incident is a humorous one. But this is the outcome of jahalat and ignorance. That we may not be chasing Ramadan, and who can chase Ramadan away? Ramadan can't be chased away by anybody. Ramadan is going to come and it will bring all its orders and obligations and injunctions. Those that follow will follow, and those that don't want to follow, that's their onus and responsibility, and they will face the consequences. But lesson to be learned is that maybe we don't take that approach of ignorance of those villages. But we also sometimes show a sense of ignoring Ramadan and not giving Ramadan the due importance that it's supposed to, because we have not prepared ourselves. There are still in the Ummah many people who have not yet understood the true importance of this great month. So therefore, a few words inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a source of inspiration for all of us, and get us in that mode of Ramadan by next week this time. Next week this time, Saturday night, could be the second Taraweeh. Friday night could be the first Taraweeh. If the moon is not sighted, then automatically it's going to be, in any case, next week this time it will be the Taraweeh. If the moon is not sighted, and of course if the moon is sighted, then Friday night already will be the first Taraweeh, this will be the second Taraweeh. So we're right there on the threshold now. That what was being mentioned from weeks and months on end, that Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan, Rajab too is gone, Sha'ban is almost over, and now we have reached the doorstep and threshold of this Mubarak month. My dear friends, regarding this month, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that if my ummah knew the greatness of this month, then they would have wished that Allah made the whole year into Ramadan. Allahu Akbar. Imagine. They would have wished the whole year must be Ramadan. They don't mind, they wouldn't have mind fasting the whole year through, reading Taraweeh the whole year through. Why? Because the kind of rewards, the kind of ajr Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give on this month would have prompted them to ask and desire that, Ya Allah, let this thing just carry on. Let it continue into the next month and the next month and the next month, because we're earning so much and we're making so much of reward and earnings that we can't let go. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His hikmat and His mercy, He has made different seasons of the year, so that we do not become so complacent, or we become so used to it that we lose the appreciation and the value. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept breaks in between, and different times of the year, different seasons of the year. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave preference to certain days over the days in the week, like Jum'ah. Allah gave preference to certain months in the year over the rest of the months, like Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave preference to certain places over the rest of the places on earth, like Baytullah and Medina and Masjid al-Aqsa and the Masajid. And so this is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He gives preference to some over others. So alhamdulillah, this Mubarak month is a month that we could have, if we'd known the reward, We would have desired, Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying this here, that my ummah would have desired that the whole year should be the month of Ramadan. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us some breaks in between, because not everybody is of that level. Many barely make it to fast in Ramadan. Many are they who look for excuses not to fast. Many are not fasting, thinking that they've got a valid grounds for not fasting, but whereas they should be fasting. Many don't read the Salatul Taraweeh properly. Many come partially, some nights they're not there. Many are missing for most of the nights. This is all because of the lack of the appreciation and the anticipation and preparation for the month. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it that we truly understand the value of this great month, and we look forward to its coming. This month is such a month that it is truly a month of purification. You know, medical science also, the doctors say that your body over a period of time develops certain toxins. The toxins start accumulating, maybe because of bad eating habits, wrong diet. So the toxins start accumulating in the body, and these toxins eventually give rise to diseases and sicknesses. And those diseases and sicknesses start affecting the functioning of the organs. And sometimes it goes to such a stage that it actually causes the organs to malfunction, and sometimes to cease to function, to stop to function. For example, we have a wonderful mechanism Allah Rabbul Izzat has placed in the human body, which is called the kidney. Now, that kidney does so much of purification all the time of the blood and so on. If the kidney doesn't function, and one kidney doesn't function, Allah has put two, a spare wheel, like you say. So there's another kidney that's there, that will function if the one stops functioning. And many people have led whole life surviving on one kidney too. But Allah forbid if both kidneys cease to function, then they have now invented the system of dialysis, two times a week, three times a week, depends. Now, the amount of processes that have to go into this dialysis, and how one little organ of the body, perhaps the size of a fist or a little bit more, Dr. Saab is here, he'll correct me if I'm wrong, that little part, how much it what it does. So I'm just bringing the point in that the body, physical body, needs detox. We need to detoxify. We need to take out the toxins. Otherwise, eventually what happens is that the body becomes diseased, and it becomes disease prone. So in these days, it's a very big buzzword. Everybody is talking about detox, going for detox, detoxing different parts of the body. There's a detox of the liver, and there's detox of the stomach, and there's detox of the intestines and the whole gut and all parts of the body, colon, and there's detox of the kidneys and all parts of the body. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also granted us an opportunity of detoxing. Now like this, the spiritual side, the spiritual self, the ruh also, over a period of time, because of the accumulation of guna and sins, and bad actions and bad deeds and habits, like how a person has bad eating habits, bad habits, spiritual habits, that causes the toxins to develop in the ruh. And Allah Rabbul Izzat has given us this opportunity to detoxify. Even fasting, the physical act of fasting, is a great source of detoxification of the body. Because what it does is, it allows the organs to revive. Because for protracted periods of time, there's no food going into the stomach, So the digestive system has an opportunity to revive itself, and the body rejuvenates itself in this month. But more than that is the spiritual detoxification. All the spiritual toxins come out of the body, and a person becomes spiritually healthy and well again. That's provided we follow that program properly throughout the month of Ramadan. Otherwise, my dear friends, those who do not really give Ramadan the importance and they don't do the various obligations and duties in Ramadan, then what happens is, slowly, slowly over the years, the toxins don't get removed. Of the spiritual toxins don't get removed. And those toxins start accumulating to a point that when a person comes to that point, then even his iman is in khatra and his iman is in danger. And now he becomes so habituated to evil, vice and sin and ma'asiyat, that whether it's Ramzan or out of Ramzan too, he cannot give up this habit of vice. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from that bad, terrible condition that can overtake a person. So this is a month of purification. And Ramadan, another example is Ramadan is like a furnace. In the furnace, you put anything inside, metal, whatever dirt there is around that metal, that all comes off, the alloys all come out, and you left with a very pure substance, because the heat of the furnace burns off everything else but the original substance. So this month of Ramadan, it is like a spiritual furnace, that once we go into this furnace, it will burn out all those bad things that were accumulating over a period of time, and what is left behind is pure, the purity of iman, the purity of taqwa, the purity of ihsan, the purity of ikhlas. This is what is left behind at the end of the month of Ramadan. So this is in fact the best time of the year for spiritual elevation, for spiritual purification. All the akabir of the ummah, they used to take special advantage of the month of Ramadan for spiritual purification. Many akabir and elders, they used to hold khankas and khanka programs in the month of Ramadan, because this is the time when you can make spiritual progress and advancement very rapidly and quickly compared to any other time of the year. And the reason is very evident and clear, because this is the time when everything is in your favor. Nafs is subdued because of fasting and ibadat. Shaitans are locked up. And atmosphere is conducive. Malaika are coming down. Rahmat is descending. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's special attention is being focused. So there's no better time. Really, my dear friends, you try to do the same thing at any other time of the year, it will not have that kind of asar and effect as it has in the month of Ramadan. Ramadan comes with a very special blessing and barakat of its own. Therefore, we find Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would look forward to the month of Ramadan with such eagerness that Jibreel alayhi salam would come down and he would recite the Quran to him, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite the Quran to him. And his generosity was beyond description in the month of Ramadan. It is mentioned that kana ajwada min ar-rihil mursala, better than a fast blowing wind was the generosity, that is the ecstasy in the heart of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the desire to give to his ummah was at its height in the month of Ramadan. So Ramadan is a month of giving spiritual benefit and taking spiritual benefit. Mashayikh is to give maximum spiritual benefit to their mutalliqeen in the month of Ramadan. And the mutalliqeen would draw the maximum amount of spiritual benefit from their pious elders in the month of Ramadan. So, my dear friends, just to round it off now, inshallah ta'ala, that now that the month is coming, and we explained the different aspects of this month, yesterday with the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also gave another example, that the engine of the car, after a period of time, needs to be overhauled. It needs a major service. Right. Sometimes it just needs little plugs and points and oil change, but sometimes it needs a major service. So this is the time of the year when we need that major spiritual service, renewing all the parts now so that we can function fully. And another example is, you know, we're driving our vehicle over a period of time, the alignment goes off. Now, you're not careful how you're steering, then the car starts veering left or right. It doesn't stay in a straight line. Like this, we also start veering off from Sirat-e-Mustaqim. And we go towards dunya and desires. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this month for alignment. To align the vehicles of our life, the tires of our life, so that we can be driving straight on Sirat-e-Mustaqim till we reach our destination, that is the Akhirah. Now in this month, there are a few very important things that we should try to aspire to do and start preparing for that from now. We've got a week left, we should try to aspire to do these things from now. Starting from tonight, starting from tomorrow morning, that one is the motivation which I spoke about. One of the best forms of motivation is Fazail Ramadan of Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullah Alayh. This kitab has got a lot of inspiration, it has got a lot of spirituality. This kitab was written in an atmosphere of spirituality. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh was a great spiritual giant. And he was immersed all the time in an atmosphere of spirituality. And just as a matter of information, Fazail-e-Ramadan was written by Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh in one Ramadan in Nizamuddin when he was in Etikaf, and he completed the writing of it on 27th of Ramadan. The 27th of Ramadan, he completed the compilation of Fazail-e-Ramadan in a place like Nizamuddin, as we know that the amount of spiritual atmosphere that prevailed in Nizamuddin, especially in the time of the great elders, Allahu Akbar. There was so much of spirituality, so much of ibadah, so much of tilawah, so much of zikrullah, so much of fikr for deen, etc. So you can imagine how this book is permeated. The pages of this book are permeated with that spirituality. And it is that spirituality that gets transferred from the pages of the book to the reader. Don't look at a book as a lifeless thing. It's not a lifeless object. A book is a living entity. And whatever atmosphere was prevalent at the time of writing that book, and what feelings were in the heart of the author, and the piety of the author is what gets transferred into the words of that book. And from there it gets transmitted to the writer, to the reader. So books are not lifeless objects. Let us not look at it as something on the flip side. Allah forbid, if a person picks up a book of a deviated person who's gone off the straight path, and he starts reading that book, he's going to be adversely influenced, his heart will become dark, his iman will start weakening, and Allah forbid, he will go on to a path of disobedience, and he could go completely astray. Hazrat Mawlana Thani Rahmatullah Alayhi, these were people of purified hearts and souls. He picked up the book of one author. Later on the ulama wrote very much against this author. At that time he was not writing controversial things, but he was heading in that direction. Somebody brought the book and said, Hazrat, this is a person, very well-known author, writing a lot of books now, gaining a lot of popularity and so on. He brought the book and he presented it to Hazrat. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali just flipped through the pages. He said, Iske andar se mujhe zulmat mehsoos ho raha hai. I'm experiencing darkness emanating from the pages of this book. Allahu Akbar. This is, therefore, these books, there's Nuraniyat, because it was written in an atmosphere of Nuraniyat. So that therefore, individually too, and collectively too in the homes, try to make ta'aleem of the Fazail Ramadan. Start now so that we can have a head start, read, even if we finish reading one reading of it before Ramadan. And then in Ramadan, read a little at a time too, inshallah. And if we didn't get tawfiq to read the whole book, then don't deprive ourselves completely. If you're rushing somewhere early in the morning and you didn't have time to have a continental breakfast, then you still have at least one cup of tea, one slice of bread, and then you'll go. You don't say, I'm starved because I don't have a full breakfast. So if you can't read the whole book, then just read little parts of it too, inshallah. Even 5 lines, 10 lines will inspire us, inshallah. And side by side, we should try to read the Ramadan of the pious elders. That was also compiled by Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullah Alayh. And the purpose of compiling this was also to show that how the pious elders approached the month of Ramadan. The moment Ramadan appeared, it was as if the meter was running. The clock was ticking, the meter was running. And they wanted that meter to be running and their meter of reward and sawab to be moving so that the whole month they could take maximum benefit. Therefore we find that when the elders, the month of Ramadan came, they said, this is the month of Allah. We have devoted and dedicated this month to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they spoke very little. Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya himself would not tolerate to speak one extra word to anyone in the month of Ramadan. To the extent that even those who are his best friends, they knew that you can't, there's no chance of talking to him in Ramadan. One Hakim Saab, who was very close to Hazrat Shaykh, throughout the year he would visit him. But when Ramadan came, and he came to visit Hazrat Shaykh, and he's asking everyone, can I meet him? They said, no, it's Ramzan. He said, bhai, we also in Ramzan. Not only him. He said, no, you got no chance of meeting him. So finally, he got so tired asking around that he went to Hazrat Shaykh, his door. He stood by the door and he shouted, Salaamu Alaikum. Hazrat, Ramzan comes to us also, but it doesn't attack us like a fever. I'll see you after Ramzan. And he went away. But the point is this, that even those people realize that these awliya Allah, it is like they got Ramzan fever. This is a Mubarak fever. Don't try to get rid of it. Don't get rid of it. Don't take any kind of Panado and Disprin and all that, Flutex, to get rid of this fever of Ramzan. This is a fever that we must welcome. May Allah give us Ramzan fever. Allah Ta'ala imbue us with the fever of Ramzan. That's such a fever that now we are absorbed in the months. And we cut down all other activities as much as possible to the least. We still have to earn a living, we have to go to work, we have things to do. But the attitude must be that as quickly as we can finish off all these other things, all leisurely things and all other things are completely out in Ramadan. And our full attention must be towards Quran, Zikrullah, Nawafil, being in the masjid, being engaged in some activity of deen, so that we can gain the maximum benefit. And especially when it comes to the last 10 days of Ramadan, Allahu Akbar, that is the peak of this month. Then we find that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Nabi of this ummah, did not miss out i'tikaf in his life in the last 10 days of Ramadan. When on one occasion he could not make it, then he spent 20 days in i'tikaf to cover up for the previous year. And on one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made i'tikaf for the whole month of Ramadan. Whole month. Looking for Laylatul Qadr in the first 10 nights when he did not find it, then he spent the second 10 nights, and he spent the third night, 10 nights, and then it was fixed in the last 10 nights. So thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to then sit for the i'tikaf in the last 10 nights. In 1 year, when because of jihad obligations, he was unable to do the i'tikaf, then he covered up the next year by sitting for 20 days. So much of importance. Allah's Nabi, who's connected totally to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, day and night, not a minute of this connection between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when it came to even him, the greatest of the great, he did not miss this opportunity of focusing and connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with full concentration in the last 10 days of Ramadan. In fact, it is mentioned that that year when he spent a full month, many had joined him, many sahaba had joined him for itikaf. We find some nowadays people come out with these concepts that you shouldn't have people sitting, lot of people sitting for itikaf. So then what is the meaning of those ahadith where it says that many had joined Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from sahaba to sit for itikaf in the first 10 days, and he said, those that join me must continue with me in the next 10 days, and they remain behind. And then he said, those that have been with me must continue with me right through to the last 10 days. What does it mean? Does it mean that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sitting all by himself for itikaf? So my dear friends, the elders are saying that this is the opportunity to gain maximum and to spend maximum time in the house of Allah, in nafil ibadat, nafil i'tikaf. Nafil i'tikaf is also a form of i'tikaf, not equivalent to sunnah i'tikaf, that is the highest in reward. But nafil i'tikaf is also something that is acknowledged in the deen, to spend maximum time in the masjid. So therefore, do not be distracted by people who promote the idea that no, you shouldn't be sitting for i'tikaf, and you know, making a mockery and actually jeering at people who are sitting in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trying to draw close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, we say one thing, and that is, we should not squander this opportunity. We should not waste the opportunity of itikaf by indulging in frivolous things in itikaf. But a person is insan, we are human being, you have to eat in itikaf. And there's nothing wrong. Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullahi used to say to his people, eat as much as you want, no restrictions. And sleep as much as you want, no restrictions. Because your eating in itikaf is also ibadat. And your sleeping in itikaf is also ibadat. But he used to say that no talking and discussion. Leave the talking and discussion out. Cut it out completely. So these days, there's unfortunately, you know, maybe a few places people have gone a little overboard in some aspects. So now, it doesn't mean that people must be discouraged. We don't throw the baby out with the water. Throw the dirty water out, leave the baby. You don't throw the whole concept of itikaf out of the window because some people have made some mistakes in itikaf and start, because people are eating, they are in itikaf, they're hungry, they want to eat, maybe they're eating late at night. Others are eating at home, so mu'takif are eating in the masjid. So it is said, oh, they're having a party in the house of Allah. My people are eating, leave them, they're eating. Hazrat Shaykh said, eat as much as you want. The whole time you want to eat, as long as you don't get involved in unnecessary discussions. Obviously, it doesn't mean that a person must overindulge, and nobody does that. People come with ikhlas and sincerity to gain something. My dear friends, in this day and age, when people are drifting further and further away from Iman and Islam and Deen and Taqwa, then this is a time we should be encouraging the people to come forward, instead of becoming a means of discouragement. The little that there is there, that too will be gone. There won't be nothing left eventually. So we say that these things, these pious elders, who was Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya? Was he an ordinary person? Was he just some, you know, little scholar with some basic knowledge? Allah, he was ocean of knowledge, ocean of knowledge. 50 years of his life he taught Bukhari Sharif. He wrote commentaries today, Al-Kanzul Mutawari fi Sharil Bukhari, the commentary of Bukhari Sharif, Kanzul Mutawari. He has written a commentary of Abu Dawud Sharif, Bazlul Majhud. He has written a commentary of Muwatta Imam Malik, Awjazul Masalik. The Maliki ulama used to kiss the feet of Hazrat Shaykh in Medina, that this alim, being a Hanafi, wrote such a commentary of our Muwatta, of Maliki Mazhab, that even our ulama haven't written. Al-Faizu Samai, the Shara of Nasai Sharif. And Al-Kawkabu Durri, the commentary of Tirmizi Sharif. And hundreds of other books that he wrote. He was an alim of the time. No alim of the time could could match Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi in terms of knowledge and understanding of deen. And spirituality, he was a spiritual master of the time. Akabir say that Madar Zad Wali, he was born as a Wali. Because born in the lap of Wilayat, his father was among the great awliya of the Ummat. His mother was among the great awliya of the Ummat. His grandfather was among the great awliya of the Ummat. His uncle, Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, was among the great awliya of the Ummat. His cousin, Maulana Yusuf Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, he came from such a noble lineage and family background of piety and righteousness and taqwa and wilayat that is rarely witnessed in the Ummat. This was one selected family. Allah had selected this family. There isn't time to go into the detailed background of these people, their biographies and so on. But take it that these were the leading spiritual figures of the Ummat. And Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali is a Siddiqi. His lineage goes back directly to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was no ordinary person. Allah had inspired him that in this Akhirul Zaman, to revive the spirituality of the Ummat, have these collective i'tikafs in the masajid, and gather the people. Allah's fazl, I was a youngster at that time, in 1981, just in my matric year, when Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullah Ali came to South Africa and he did his last i'tikaf of his life in Stanger. Today we say Stanger Sharif. He came and he did his i'tikaf there in Stanger. Allahu Akbar. There are many who may have witnessed that in this gathering too. What can we say, that little days that I spent there by the fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was something completely unique. And through this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired Hazrat Shaykh and his khulafa that came after him, Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Gangohi rahmatullah alayhi, and all the other akabir, Hazrat Muhammad Abdul Hafiz Makki rahmatullah alayhi, and other great, great akabir, that they revived that tradition of the Khanqa and of spiritual development, especially spending certain amount of times in spiritual atmospheres and spiritual mahol and environment. So my dear friends, this is the opportunity. We might be saying Ramzan hasn't come and we're talking of the last 10 days, but timetable that we maximize every minute of this Mubarak month. Ya Allah, grant us tawfiq to follow in the footsteps of the great and pious akabir of this ummah, Ya Allah. They have set a high standard, Ya Allah. We are weaklings, Ya Allah. We cannot come anywhere near that, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Ya Allah, they set a very high bar and standard, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, for us, Ya Allah, to be inspired by their examples. Ya Allah, to the best of our ability, grant us tawfiq, Ya Allah, to follow as much as possible in their footsteps, Ya Arhamar Rahimin.